Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
On your marks.
Get set.
Bye.
We're back in the nation's favourite tent.
Let's do this.
And it's packed with a fresh batch of famous faces.
As long as it's edible, I'd be happy.
Don't choke, try Mikey. How hard can it be?
The Great Celebrity Bake-Off for Stand Up To Cancer on Channel 4. Stream now.
This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead in Sports, I'm your host, Kenneth Bean. Joining me on the show, we have Shelton, FIFO, Nick, and Spike. What up, fellas?
What's happening?
What up, dude?
We thank you guys for tuning in live. If you're catching the replay, you can catch us live every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Or if you listen to the audio, if it's posted on the Spotify feed or you're watching the video on the Spotify feed, the video is on there as well. Then, yeah, you can always catch us live on YouTube, youtube.com/deadinsports. For those of you that are watching now, make sure you guys hit the thumbs up button and let everybody know that we are now live and getting into the show. And if you want to become a member, you could do so by going to youtube.com/deadinsports, or you can click the icon next to the super chat button, which helps support the show. And let's get into it, man, as we have been doing lately. And again, we would love to hear you guys' feedback on the changes to the show. We kick things off with the best performance of the week. And up this week, we have FIFO.
And I'm getting flexed emojis in the chat. Mm-hmm. But the best performance of the week was Cooper Flagg against Arizona to get them Dukes into the Elite Eight. He dropped 30 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, and 3 blocks. And this is the most impressive thing about that game was he was the initiator and the ball handler down the stretch of that game. Everything went through him.
Come on, man.
He said he was the initiator and the ball
handler. And the ball handler. Like, he was getting busy.
He's going crazy. With a last name like Flag.
That was a flag.
You got to make sure you spell that correctly.
Am I working with
professionals? Am I working with professionals over here?
Ball handler was crazy.
Man. But look, Cooper Flagg was the best performance of the week, getting the Dukes to the Elite Eight. And I'll tell you this. I know we're going to talk about college basketball. This is when I start to watch. I tell you all the time, I watch the NBA players, and I watch, you know, as it dwindles down into the tournament. But I think the Dukes are going to win. I think the Duke Blue Devils are going to win a national championship. They are the best overall team I've seen with the best player in the nation. And here's the thing about what I love about Cooper Flagg. He just lets the game come to him. So he could be a facilitator. He could be dominant when he needs to be. His team is good enough. I agree with Kenny Smith. He's been saying Cooper Flagg doesn't have to be exceptional for them to win, but he does have to play good. But when he is exceptional and he can control the game without having to score or be ball dominant, you know what I'm saying? So I love what he brings and the high-low passing. Like, he understands the angles. He understands how to throw lob passes. Cooper Flagg is that guy. He's going to be the number one overall pick, and I believe that they're going to win a national championship.
Who do you think his NBA comp is?
Boo. His NBA comp?
Tyler Hero?
No.
Chandler Parsons?
They're going to hype it up and say Larry Bird.
I don't think it's Larry Bird. I heard some interesting ones this week. That's why I
Tom asked Chambers. Tom Y'all Chambers all is, white is a good one.
Can he have a black comp?
Can he? Yeah.
He don't have a black game, though.
I mean, he does. What are you talking
people
about?
People say he played. I've heard Grant Hill, and I've heard Kevin Durant.
Nah, he's neither one of those guys.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
I think he's a slightly less athletic, more defensive-minded Amari Stoudemire because he plays above the rim.
I don't think
you
so.
Watch him on defense.
Nah, I can't say that. He handles the ball better than Amari did.
Amari had handles. He just played with Steve Nash.
Well, Amari – No, nah, Amari
was like a big man. Like
he
had one crossover and that was it.
Yeah,
he wasn't bringing the ball up the court the way Cooper does or initiate offense. However, in the half court, you can give him the ball at 3-point line. He could take his guy off the dribble, is what I'm saying.
But you could initiate the offense with Amari Cooper. That's why I wouldn't compare him to him so much.
That's why Larry Bird is to me it's an exaggerated comp, but it's the only one that I can see.
He can't shoot like Larry.
No, he can't. He's way more athletic than what Larry was.
He AK-47, man.
There you go. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah, I give you that. I give you that. I give you that.
What happened to Andre Kirilenko?
Man, once the story came out that, you know, him and his wife had an open relationship, I don't know what happened after that, bro. Real talk.
Okay. Moving on. Let's jump into March Madness. FIFA basically giving you a bit of a spoiler. But March Madness has officially ended, and we now have our final four teams for this year's NCAA tournament. The Duke Blue Devils, Houston Cougars, Auburn Tigers, and Florida Gators, all of which were number one seeds in their respective regions.
Wow.
Which two teams do y'all have making it to the championship game, and who do y'all have winning it all?
Hold on, Cam, before anybody else goes, it's the first time that this has happened since 2008, and it's only the second time in March Madness history that all four number one seeds have made it to the Final Four.
The women's game, too. I have
all number one seeds in the women's game?
Yeah. I have, unfortunately, Duke, and I will say Houston.
No, it's not. He wrong. Y'all continue.
They're not?
USC ain't
made. Oh no, USC lost. USC lost. I'm sorry about that. I was wrong. Yes, sorry about that.
Jalen just a hating ass nigga.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Black spot in the room.
I forgot.
No, but Jalen's on his job though.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, USC got beat by UConn. Houston. I got Houston and Duke. I think it's going to be close in both these games. Florida has the disadvantage of playing against referees as well. Oh, Cooper Flagg's comparison is Scottie Pippen is what they try to say. Which I can kind of see that a lot.
Yep, I can see that.
But I think Duke does have the advantage of experience. Well, they're young, but they still have that ACC blue blood experience, I guess you can say. And I think that they'll have the advantage over Florida. Florida squeaked by that last one, even though I love Clayton. I love what Clayton brings to the table. And I'm hoping that they can pull it out, but I think Duke's going to win. And I picked Houston because they're so hard-nosed and competitive. And Auburn, Jannot Broome hurt his arm, and that arm injury didn't look good. So when your best player is out, and he's going to play, I'm sure, but I don't know if it'll look the same. And you're going to need all the strength you have to go up against the Houston team.
Shelton, you know what I liked about the Florida game? I can't remember who they played, but I know it was a heartbreak game for them. Was it Alabama?
Texas Tech, I think.
Oh, Florida?
Yeah.
No, Florida played Texas Tech.
Texas Tech. The thing I loved about that game was the coaching down the stretch. I can't remember the name of the coach. You know I'm already bad with names, and I don't even watch college like that. But the coach called his final timeout with almost 4 minutes left in the game. And I was like, what is he doing? As a coach, I wouldn't have made that timeout. But the adjustment that he made and the defensive pressure that they got from that timeout carried them throughout the rest of that game. And it was, at hindsight, looked like a genius move. They got a tall white boy over there in Florida. Boy, he was choking that three. And he's like 6'10", like super tall, lanky white boy. But he wasn't missing. So I love the adjustments that they made down the stretch defensively. I like Florida. I don't think that this is going to be a cakewalk for Duke. I think that this is going to be a tough matchup. I don't see a double digit win. Can happen, of course, either way. But I got the Devils pulling that out. I like Auburn against Houston. I like Auburn. I like their backcourt.
That ain't the matchup though.
Ain't it, FIFO?
Yeah, it's Auburn, Florida, Houston, Duke.
It is?
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Auburn versus Florida.
Yeah, yeah, it's SEC versus Gotcha. That killed my whole take
because I'm looking at the screen. I'm sorry.
I was looking at the screen too, and I was going off of what Shuttle was saying. But I'll take Florida over Auburn, and I'm taking Duke over Houston. I think Florida gonna beat them.
I picked Auburn in the beginning, but I'm number four. The dude that you said, I can't think of his name, but he hurt that arm injury. Yeah, if Broome was healthy, I would still feel confident taking Auburn because I think Bruce Pearl is gonna pull it out. As far as they got the best coach. In the final four, but being that he's hurt, I'm going Florida versus Duke in the championship just because I want to see what Cooper would do against the SEC school. So give me Duke, Florida.
I'm with you though, FIFA. Them Auburn guards is amazing. Sorry about that, go.
So who you got?
Oh, who I got between you? I'm
who's your model?
I gotta change it now. So looking at that, I would say Duke and Auburn. If Auburn's going against Florida, I think Auburn can beat Duke, and I think they will. Duke beat Auburn this year earlier, and I think that Auburn would have the advantage going down the stretch. Their average age is like 24 years old.
Are you saying that
Auburn plays Florida?
Yes, I said Auburn will beat Florida. That's what I said.
Okay, gotcha. So you got Auburn. You got Auburn winning it all.
Yes. Now I do. If Auburn had to play Houston, I don't think they could beat Houston. But they can beat Florida.
Okay. Ken, what you got? Are you even watching this shit?
No, I'm not.
You watch no games, Ken?
No. I caught the second half, like the last 12 to 10 minutes of the Duke Alabama game, and.
Ken, I watch Alabama just to hate where he gonna.
That's the wrong time. Y'all niggas wasn't watching no Alabama. Y'all ain't watching no Alabama games when they was playing BYU busted ass. Y'all want to turn on? They play some Duke.
Yeah. So
I got I have Florida beating Auburn, and I have Duke beating Houston. I got Florida Duke, and I got Florida winning it all. Fucks with Clayton Jr. He should be a top 10 pick. I know a lot of motherfuckers don't have him on their draft boards. I don't know why. This dude is a baller.
Yeah. They say he's going to be a lottery pick.
They didn't say that coming into it, though. That's what I'm saying. I think he's had if I was a scout, I'm looking at this dude. I'm like, bro, he's risen on the draft boards. Since I don't know when was the last really good draft class. Maybe it was the Zion year where it was like obvious like picks, but the last few draft classes, like you don't remember half these kids who came out. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like this is one of the classes where we're gonna remember, like, all right, this dude was here in that class, this dude was good, and I think he's gonna be one of them. And if he slips to a good team or a decent team, like if he gets picked in the teens, I think he's gonna be a dog. Like, I just like the fact that he can create his own shot. I think he can score as well as Cooper Flagg, but just in different ways. He can score at any point in the on the court. The way he came back against Texas Tech, like, I don't know. I fuck with Clayton Jr. And I think that Florida has the size to go against Duke, because I think that's what Duke's main – that's their main advantage outside of Flagg, is the fact that they have the size. They got that one – I think, what is he, African? Somebody, they said that he just started playing basketball 4 days ago or some shit like that. I hate them type of stories, bro, because it just shows you that if you just 6'7", you can be in a – or you above 6'5", you can be in the NBA type shit. But that's just me hating. But I think Florida is actually a sneaky, sneaky good team. They busted Alabama's ass in the regular season, so I've been kind of watching them a little bit since then, and I think this is their year.
Yeah, I think, Nick, to your point, to me – I haven't watched all year. I've watched Sweet 16 and until now. Florida's the second best team I've seen. Auburn's the third best team. Houston's the fourth best team, in my opinion. But yes, I think Florida can beat Duke. But I just got my money on all things equal. Cooper Flagg is the difference maker.
Man, I still say Broome with the injury. Like I said, going against a rugged Houston team. With this injury is tough, but going against Florida and those big guys, I'm not as afraid of them for him. If for some reason he can stay healthy, because he's been rebounding these last two games like crazy. Like he's had over 10 rebounds in both the last two first halves.
And he a really good college player.
Man, Rose, I mean, that, like, all really that, that, yeah, that whole team is old. So, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I really, but I like the guards too. I like Pettiford. Pettiford be hooping. He's a freshman though. But Clayton is that guy. You're right about
Clayton
that.
Is a dog, bro. He reminds me of that year Kemba went to UConn run, the way he could just like Kemba was just scoring all over the place. Like, granted, like defensive wise and all that stuff, he doesn't have to worry about that because he got the big the rest of the team to help him out. Mm. But Clayton Jr. is a dog.
All right. Well, there you have it. Make sure you guys come back next week as because they're playing next week, right?
They play, they play Monday on the 7th.
Monday, okay.
Yeah, Saturday and Monday.
All right. Tune in and we'll definitely have a recap of the national of that game. So we'll be right back after this quick break.
If you are a fan of gaming, then you need to check out Dead End Gaming. Dead End Gaming brings you honest reviews, hilarious moments, and deep dives into the conversations take place in the industry. No sugarcoating, just real gamers gaming. Check out Dead End Gaming, the world's most dangerous gaming crew, on Twitch or YouTube. Just look for Dead End Gaming ATL. That's Dead End Gaming ATL.
It's the cinematic event of the year. Critics say astonishing, tremendous, a triumph of savings.
Are you talking about Death of a Unicorn?
No, Sergey. It's 2-for-1 cinema tickets from Compare the Market.
Oh.
But you can use this magnificent offer to see Death of a Unicorn only in cinemas.
Woohoo!
Get 2-for-1 cinema tickets every Tuesday or Wednesday with Compare the Market. Simples!
When you take out a qualifying product to Compare the Market, one membership per year, participating cinemas, 2 standard tickets only, cheap as free. T's and C's apply.
All right, y'all. On Watch This Week, it's coming from a player we were just talking about earlier. I got Cooper Flagg on Watch.
Oh my God!
Yeah, if you ain't seen me earlier, you know what I'm saying. I got a little taste in me. Got the wolf off my back, just because y'all niggas keep hyping up this dude. And I'm not saying he trash. I'm not saying that at all. I just said ever since then, and I know Manny's been in the chat posting him more than his
mama. Oh, my God.
Can't stand it. I just want to see what he's like throughout this the rest of this tournament. Granted, he got them to the final four. Well, I won't even say he got them. That team, that Duke team is fucking stacked. Like, that's an NBA-level damn near team playing in college basketball. And shout out to their head coach because he had big shoes to fill with coming through for Coach K. But I still want to see how Cooper Flagg plays for the rest of this Final Four if they make it to the championship game. I'm not saying that he shouldn't be a top three or top five pick, but for him to be the quote-unquote savior that everybody think he is or how he's supposed to be so plug and play to fit in any franchise and all that shit, I'm like, hold on, nigga. Because I remember FIFA was talking about another nigga from Duke, Ken, a few years ago that said he was a game changer. We ain't seen shit. You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying Cooper Flagg is on Watch. We're going to watch him the rest of this weekend, see what he do. He's been playing really well so far. I'm not knocking him and I'm not hating him just because he beat my Bama, Roll Tide. But I still feel like there's still a lot left for me to see to say like, okay, this is the guy.
Okay,
he's clearly the number one.
Yeah, he's number one pick.
Yeah, like what do you mean that you still need to see? Like, what else is it that you need to see? He does everything on the court at a very high level. The only thing I will say that he isn't necessarily the best at, he's not a top-tier scorer, but he has a real big bag. He has the handle. He has the pull-up game. He has an open three-point shot. He has midi game. He could shoot off the dribble. He has a post-up game, so he could punish defenders that are smaller than him. You know what I'm saying? Like Nick, I don't understand what it is. And then he's a dog on defense. He's a help side defender. He's also a main defender on his own guy.
All I'm saying is these outside of the Wemby year, these last few years when we talk about number one picks, they ain't me. Chill, they don't mean shit to me. Because you can't tell me who's coming at 2, 3, 4, 5. We don't know half these niggas.
Yeah, you do. The top three picks is there. It's the dude, the two dudes from St. John's going 2-3.
And that goes to my point as far as me need to see more, because he has a lot of support. It's not like half these other teams where there's only one guy. Like when we looked at Auburn, and when we talk about a few other these teams where it's like it's really just one. Like even with Florida, like if you take Clayton Jr. off that team, they're not even here. So Cooper has a lot of help, and I'm not knocking him for that. I'm just saying that I want to see against
without Cooper, they make it to the Final Four without Cooper.
I think there's an argument to say that they could.
I don't know.
Yeah, the rest of the Lou just told me that they won the
ACC tournament without
they made the Elite Eight last year, right? And they pretty much brought the whole team back plus Cooper now, and now they're in the Final Four. In my opinion, Cooper is the difference of a championship level team and a very good team, a Sweet 16 team, an Elite Eight team. But they're not a Final Four or a national championship contender without Cooper Flagg.
People won the ACC tournament without Cooper Flagg.
Okay.
He's not good. I just said I need to see more. If you say they're a championship team, I'm like, let me see it. If he's as good as y'all say, then let me see it. That's what I'm saying, kid. I'm trying to see the
30.7 rebounds, six assists, and three blocks. Isn't that you need to see more?
Yes. In a one and done tournament, I need to see more. Yes. How good are you consistently?
You need to see more in the league when he gets to the league. Is what you're saying?
I'm saying like from now moving.
He's done his job in college.
He's done
what you would expect a number one overall.
We said the same thing
about athlete to come in and do, right?
We said the same thing about Zion too, and look how that turned.
Zion averaging 26 points a game, bro. What are you talking about?
I'm saying that
Zion just can't stay on the court, but when he's on the court, he's elite. He's elite. Yeah,
he just like ugly IG bitches. Like that's his only thing. Like that's the only thing. Like that's what's holding him back. I don't think Cooper Flagg gonna have that problem.
All I'm saying is that I just want to see what he does for the Final Four and if they make it to the championship. I'm not gonna knock him if they don't make it to the championship game. But this matchup against Houston is a tough nose, you know, a hard nose team and all that stuff. I want to see how he does against like more as the competition gets better. How does he play?
I would respect the take if you said, I want to see what he does in the league. He's done his job in college, though. Like getting your team to the Final Four as a freshman, being the leading player on that team, being the number one five-star athlete coming in to the year. He's done his job. Getting to the Final Four, that was his job. And he's performed well.
You got to win it all.
That's what I'm saying. On this team, this squad, with him being like, This reminds me of that year, last year with the Celtics, when they were like the most talented team and all that shit. FIFA, what was our expectations? You got to win it all. For us to justify any of this praise that you get, you got to win it all.
The way they talked about him, I would like to see him win it all. So we'll see. But yeah, you know, I do agree. He's probably definitely going to go number one. So that's without a doubt. But yeah, so we'll see how it play out. Let's see what he does. I'm kind of with you, Nick. I'm just saying
we have expectations for a reason. You know what I'm saying? So are you going to live
in the league now? He's met expectations where he's at.
Well, like, speaking of expectations, because this player had expectations set on him. And what number was he drafted? What number was Ja Morant drafted?
I know the answer.
I got the answer. I just wanted
to second. Was it second, kid?
Yeah, it was second. He went right behind second player drafted in the league. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right behind Zion. Yeah. So anyway, let's talk about it, man. The Memphis Grizzlies shockingly fired their head coach Taylor Jenkins with fewer than 10 games left in the regular season as they head into the playoffs. Currently, they hold the top 5 seed in the Western Conference. Does this firing make any sense? There's a couple of questions here. So we're going to start with the first one. But before I get to that, I want to point out that the Memphis Grizzlies are 11-21 against NBA teams that are 500 or better. So this was pretty shocking news considering the fact of where we are in the season. Does this make any sense? And what new information do we have regarding his dismissal?
No new information, Ken. The timing is what makes this a big question mark. Because I had to go and listen to a whole bunch of pundits read some articles, and nobody knows why now. Now, the thing is, you know, and I'm glad that you had that stat because I had it as well. Not winning against winning teams, right? There's another coach that in my last week's power rankings that I talked about, number one overall, Tom Thibodeau, doesn't win, right, against the elite teams in the league. So I wouldn't have been surprised in the offseason, but with 10 games left or 9 games left, it doesn't make sense. Especially because you're gonna have a home playoff at the five seed. No, you're not. Not at the five.
The four seed, right? They're the four seed. They're the four seed.
They're the four seed now. We already know that 2 through 10 is like 2 games that separates them. So they could finish as high as the 3 seed. I don't see them catching number 2, but it is what it is.
They're five.
At the end of the day, they are in a very good position to make the playoffs and to make a run to win a series, maybe 2, depending on the matchups. I don't know, Ken. This is something that we have not seen in the NBA at this point in the season, and I don't know what type of expectation is going to be put on to the interim head coach, because I can't imagine it's the same as the head coach.
This makes perfect sense. I don't want you to go into the playoffs and win playoff series, and I can't fire you, because obviously they've been wanting to fire him. Y'all brought up the record against subpar 500 teams, terrible against them. They fired his whole staff without his consent in the offseason. Ja Morant, the star player, has been complaining about their offense all season.
Yeah.
Like, we have to fire you. Yeah, and the rotation. We have to fire you now before you get in the playoffs and possibly, because he's a good coach. Yeah. And you possibly make a run and you win a few playoff series. And now we're going to look at the Grizzlies even crazier if they fire him after a successful playoff run. So, yeah, we're getting rid of you now. We'll take what comes with that, and then we'll reload for next season. I think the Grizzlies have been wanting to do this. And, again, I will reference the terrible record that they have against winning teams, and they just were looking for a chance to do it. And Ja speaking out saying he hates the offense was a perfect opportunity.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And then you had Bane fighting on the sideline with other players. Dude had lost control of this team, man.
Yeah, he really had.
And he was dancing too.
Yeah, dancing down 31. Man, it looked wild, man.
He must have known he was about to get fired.
Yeah.
Or he was trying to get fired.
Yeah, the players had checked out. Lou, I wasn't even thinking that way until you said it, but you're right. Because I was thinking, well, maybe get rid of him now because you don't have a chance to win a playoff series. Mm-hmm. So.
His mic went out.
I don't have a camera, but can I get in here real quick, Nick?
Go ahead.
I think one piece that y'all leaving out too, though, is that.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
My mic cut out, so I can't hear. I was thinking that maybe he didn't have a chance to win.
Let Jalen finish real quick.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. We just want to
hear you, but let Jalen finish real quick.
Yeah, we're going to get back to you real quick.
Y'all got to make sure. I'm upset. All right, hold up. I'm going to be quick. One thing y'all leaving out is that he kind of got the team taken from him from, like, the front office, like, with his coaches. Like, so
his whole staff.
Yeah, and so Ja said that he preferred the other offense, though. Like, he was saying that in more of, like, he preferred what the offense used to be compared to now, where it's, like, more European style. And, like, so I don't think it's more so Ja was mad at the coach. He's more mad at, like, the discombobulation of, like, conflicting ways that they're playing, because he's coaching one way when the coaching staff is trying to lead them a whole other way. So I don't think it's completely on him. Like, the execs putting their hands in the pot is the main problem. And they did it at the time when they lost Ja for almost 2 years, damn near. Well, yeah, 2 years, basically. And Desmond Bane's been hurt. Like, everybody's been hurt outside of Ja getting suspended. So it's not like they could have been able to really see what the team could have been when they had a great nucleus. It's just, it was stupid for the execs to get involved instead of just waiting for everybody to get back. They got impatient. That's basically what happened. So
that's fair. Sheldon, can you hear us?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah. What were you saying?
Damn, I forgot. Now my headphones went out. But yeah, I was just basically saying I was thinking they got rid of him before the playoff run because you figured you're discombobulated as far as the team goes, and you had no chance at winning that first round playoff game. So you get rid of him now. That way you're riding. I think his name is Thomas Il Sofa or something like that. Let him take it and see what he can do in the playoffs, and then you decide on the coach. Now you're first in line to get the newest coach. You already got a player in place that's like a star player, so to speak. So you're just trying to get to the next level already.
I'll say this. Ken, did you listen to the that Bill Simmons pod, the episode I sent you?
I didn't get a chance to. I was trying to watch all the
from Sunday, Nick.
I don't know if it was Sunday, but it was one of the most recent
Ryan
ones.
Ryan Rosillo.
Yeah, Rosillo. And then the other guy who's like the Memphis. He
from Memphis. Yeah.
Whose kid is it? Oh, my bad. yeah, so like I bring that episode up because that first 40 minutes of that episode, if y'all haven't tuned in, like it breaks down a lot of the situation. It gives you like a lot of interesting stats and insight on what's going on at Memphis. And I bring that up to Ken, and I said that to you directly because it was like you were early to the party. We called you a hater. And it seems like there's a lot of stuff that you was calling out or something. You knew there was some funky shit in the room, and you just didn't know where it was, but you know the room was funky.
Ken, like, y'all smell it?
I
was like, no.
I think that am I surprised? I'm shocked. Because if you look at just overall, if we're talking about as overall coach, not going to individual seasons, I think Taylor Jenkins has had Memphis as a top two seed 3 out of 4 years or something like that. It's like within the last 4 to 5 years, he's had him as a top two seed in the West. And now, granted, being a top two seed in the West more than likely don't really mean shit, as we've seen over the last few years, because it doesn't mean that, like, you'll get to the Western Conference Finals or whatever. It's just that's just how the West is, which is why I also say the West is kind of shitty because you could just put anybody in that motherfucker. But anyway, I just find it interesting that they moved on at this point because, Lou, even if you are right, the fact of, like, let's not give him a chance to give us a hard reason to fire him. If you already fired his staff going into the year, why don't you just fire him then? You know what I'm saying? It's like, if you already fired his staff going mm-hmm. into the season, why didn't you just fire him then? Because it makes so no, it makes well, no, that goes against your point though. Then it doesn't make sense to keep him just to fire him late before the playoffs. Because mm-hmm. now, how does this bring any kind of stability going into one of your important seasons to evaluate and to assess? Because at this point, Memphis has a real question as far as like how do we want to continue on with this team moving forward? Because right now, to me, their big three is Bane, Triple J, and Ja. Right?
Mm-hmm. That's a good
depending on how right now they're at the 4-5 spot. They're a half game above Golden State, I believe, at going to being sixth seed, which they probably won't more than likely will be. If they stay at that 4-5 spot, they're facing the Lakers. The Lakers knocked them out last year, or at least mm-hmm. I think. So it's like, and now the Lakers got Luka. So it's like, how are you even like competing? And then you already mentioned the record as far as them against above 500 teams. So it's like, if you're facing a top four seed, then they're clearly above 500. So it's like, how is that? Like, how are you evaluating this team moving forward when you fire the coach 10 games left in the regular season going into the playoffs? And then you're more likely going to face a tough matchup against a veteran squad, i.e. the Lakers.
Which leads to the next couple of questions that we have, and they're kind of the – we could talk about these all together, and Shelter, you're going to go after I present this to the team. Is Memphis headed for a soft rebuild? Nick mentioned three players, and if so, is Ja Morant a franchise player? Can you build a team around him as your best player?
Lou, we had this conversation.
I thought you was going to take it, Shelton.
Yeah, go ahead, Shelton.
No, I was going to ask a question, and it's very similar to what he's going to ask. Do y'all think they overachieved this year, or are they under where they supposed to be? That's what my question was.
Is John Morant their best friend?
Yes. It's not even close. What are you talking about?
Jaren Jackson Jr. not?
No, Jaren Jackson Jr. is not. Because I'm going to use Nick's take correctly. He can't create his own shot. He's not a guy that you give him the ball and be like, hey, like we need buckets. Go get buckets.
He's improved, though. He's improved.
No, I don't disagree. He's more in the line of Bam Adebayo without the playmaking prowess that Bam has. You know, I'm not saying he can't DHO and stuff like that, but he can't, you know, create off the dribble the same way Bam. But to me, he's more in line with what Bam does. To answer the question, Ken, do they need a soft rebuild? I've been saying it for a minute now. Because outside of Ja Morant, they don't have another guy that can just go get them a bucket at an elite level. And they also don't have a guy that is an elite wing. At the end of the day, in the NBA, you got to be able to guard. You can't shut them down. You got to be able to guard the LeBrons, the KDs, the Jason Tatums, the 6'7 to 6'10 guy. You have to have a guy that can go out there and compete on both ends of the court. And they don't have that guy. Desmond Bane, I like him, but he is limited in what he can do offensively, and he's somewhat of a defensive liability, right? Jaren Jackson, love him, and I love pairing him with Ja Morant, but the rest of that roster in between isn't elite enough. Now, here's the issue, right? The same thing with the Atlanta Hawks of years ago that I always
heard. That's what you're going to say.
Purgatory.
Stuck into purgatory, yeah.
They are a good enough team to make the playoffs perennially, but they're not going to be a 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 seed. They're going to be 3, 4, 5, 6. And when you are there, you're not going to be able to draft the guy that's elite enough because they drafted two of them. They drafted Ja and they drafted Jaren, and then they're not a free agent destination.
They're not.
Who you know talking about, I want to go to Memphis.
Nobody. Hey,
it's like, nope.
If they know what's up, they're going to want to go to Memphis. I'm telling you.
They don't want to go to Memphis.
Depending on what they like. Lou
got out of there. Lou got out of there.
Lou, you ain't even there.
I'm not from Memphis. I'm from Nashville. It's so totally different worlds.
Exactly. You wouldn't go. You ain't moving.
You ain't going to Memphis.
I ain't going to Memphis for no reason.
So that's the issue with Memphis right now. And then the thing is, okay, fine. Let's say you give up Desmond Bane. You give up everything else. I like the rookie. You know what I'm saying? He has the size of a – No, not Zach Edey. The other one. The other one.
Edey was doing okay.
No. Edey's balling. Edey's balling.
He ain't balling.
He ain't balling, bro.
He's balling for a rookie. I'm not saying he's rookie of the year. But he, Ken, so hold on, Ken. Okay, trash?
No, go ahead with your point.
I'm almost there.
Oh, you? Okay. Yeah. I'm going to throw you in the boat with Spike. Look, I don't know how they go about it, but I would be willing to trade everything, not name Edey, Jaren, or Ja, to try to get an elite wing that is probably disgruntled somewhere. Like, I'll put it to you like this. KD would be perfect for that squad.
Hell no, I wouldn't wish KD on the Memphis Grizzlies.
KD would be perfect for that squad.
Can't they just sign him? Ain't he a free agent? Like, why would I trade?
He's
not a free agent.
The team that KD need to go to is Houston. That's the team that needs him the most, and that can do well with him.
Houston don't need him. See, because if he goes to Houston, what's going to happen is you're going to stunt the growth of Amen Thompson and Jalen Green. Not saying that you have to force feed KD the ball, but the offense has to flow through him.
But the same thing that you're saying about where Memphis is now, because, like, let's keep it a beam. Memphis was OKC a few years ago, right?
No,
close. I'm saying they were the young, exciting team that people were really, really trying to prop up. Ja was the face, potentially the face of the league or upcoming face of the league before all the gun shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, same kind of energy that OKC is now, except that obviously Ja took that. He went dumb left. And then things just kind of fell apart because they didn't really have any veteran leadership. Now, nah, OKC's has done a better job of managing all that. But I'm just
it's
saying.
It's not that, even that. It's not even that.
Hold on.
It's the drafting, bro. It's the players that they have, the Lou Dorts of the world, the Jalen. You know, I'm bad with names, but it's everybody else not named Shea or Chet.
Well, my main point isn't really to bring up OKC. My main point was that where Memphis is now, I feel like Houston is going to get to where it's like, I watched Houston. I stayed up late last night watching that Houston Lakers game. And it was ugly for a lot of that. Like the Lakers wanted out because of veteran leadership, and you got LeBron James. But even him and Luka was playing. They didn't play great. It wasn't good basketball for most of the part. Houston has no go-to bucket guy, like a guy to go to. They had, what's his name, Dylan Brooks, right, doing turnaround fadeaways. Like, bro, what the he's fuck right. is going on?
Dylan Brooks is the problem on that team. He's going to cost them.
And you were talking about Amen Thompson. I've seen the potential. Like, he is a good player, but he's not there yet. And granted, you could say, well, give him a few more years because they're still young. But they give
him time.
They can win now. Why are we waiting?
Because the thing is that, in my opinion, Houston is not ready to press the button. OKC is ready to press the button because, like I've been saying, you can't re-sign all of those guys. You're going to have to give up assets, whether they be draft picks or players on rookie deals, to go get one guy, a veteran, to assume what that salary is, right? Houston still needs to develop Amen and Jalen before it's like, okay, cool, let's bring in a KD-like player. Because if you bring them in now, you're 100% right, Nick. I don't disagree. They don't have a go-to guy, which is why I said I love Houston, but I don't see them winning more than one round of the playoffs. I can see them losing in the first round because they don't have that yet. But you have to develop that because you have two guys that could potentially be that. You have to develop that. Look, I put it to you like this. What did Boston do? They went and got Gordon Hayward. He got hurt. That was the best thing for Jason Tatum. Gordon Hayward got hurt that first game against Cleveland on an alley-oop. I remember that play.
Gordon Hayward ain't shit.
Gordon Hayward was a legit 20-point-a-game scorer, bro, and a legit two-way player. What is you talking about? He was an all-star.
We all looked at
that leg snap, though.
it was before that. When they paid him all that money, we was like, why the hell y'all paying Gordon Hayward all that bread?
You was. I wasn't. But at the end of the day, the fact that he got hurt helped Jason Tatum's development. And that's why Jason Tatum's the guy now.
Back to the Grizzlies, though, but the Grizzlies should trade for Devin Booker.
That's another one. I like that.
Do you think he's so what do you think, Shelton? Is Ja a franchise player? Like, if they're going to rebuild?
He is. Ja just got to get back on track. And I say that twofold. Ja was always like the people's choice. Ja was what Ant is. And he can get back there. All he has to do is focus on basketball and make sure he keep himself out of the news for negative reasons. And he can get his spot back. Ja just got to work hard and have a season where he stays healthy and does what he's capable of doing and just blocks out everything but basketball. He can get back to the top. He really can. I think so. And
he's done that this year, though, right?
Said again, you
know? He's done that this year. They're the fourth seed in the West. They ain't had no problems.
He was hurt for a portion of this season, though, Luke. I'm talking about, he's got to keep clean as far as health goes as well. Yeah. So that's big for him. But, yeah, he is a franchise player, and you have to pay him as such because, like I said, you look at him, he's a people's champ. That's huge, too. So he still has young fans that want to be Ja and want to do some Ja-type stuff other than, the negative. And you just got to play on that and hope that attracts, like you said, people. I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. They don't attract top name free agents. You need to figure out a way to get somebody else in the door that's going to help you win. Because right now, this lineup is good enough to where they can stay relevant, but not good enough to win it all.
I think they would have to gut a lot of the team to get a Devin Booker, or I don't even know who was another comp that you could say, like, all right, you can kind of get this guy and he'll help the team out. I think they're kind of fine where they are. I just think that John needs to be, like you said,
Sheldon, they win a championship.
You can't say that about a lot of teams, but no, they cannot.
But okay. But when you have a player, and he's top, John Morant is top five at his position.
Yes, when healthy.
Yeah, when healthy, he's top five at his position. Jaren Jackson is slightly outside of the top five.
He's top five. What would you call it? Is he a power forward?
Power forward.
I think he's top five.
I think he's slightly
out. Blocks and rebounds.
To me, Paolo's better than him. I'll tell you, Paolo Banchero all day over him.
Okay, who else?
I won't put him over Paolo.
I have to look at the roster,
but I think he's a sneaky top. Like he's one of those guys. Like
he is
for years. Like how Sabonis was like under the radar until people started recognizing him. Like he's one of those guys where it's like
to me Sabonis is better than him. Bam Adebayo is better than him. I'm not calling
Bam Adebayo better than Jaren Jackson.
I don't think Bam is better.
You know, the reason I say so is he only averages like 22 and 5. He don't get enough rebounds, but he does block shots. Bam does a little bit of
and you right, people. Zach Edey, he's averaging a little over 9 points and got a little over 7 rebounds a game. So he's having a very solid. If we hyping up Bronny,
Zach Edey is not balling, guys. I know because I had him on my fantasy team.
I ain't say he's
only good for blocking shots and occasional rebounds.
He hooping, kid. No, he ain't balling.
He
out there.
he gets that stuff by default. Putbacks. John Morant has played 44-45 games this year, Lou. Okay. out of 60 something, so I think he's missed like 21 or something like that. So
a third of the season.
Yeah, he just can't stay on the court. But anyway, I don't think it's over for him. I just think that he got to be careful, bro. He's heading into irrelevancy. And the last
thing,
who is
the league ain't gonna pump him up ever. No, he's not. No, the league is not gonna put him on nothing ever again. He's missed that
game, Nick.
He is winning games. He winning more than Zion. The guy drafted over him.
Yeah, and they both damn near the same type of injury prone right now. But if they get into a soft rebuild and they're not winning games, bro, it ain't gonna matter. It ain't gonna matter. So I think he just needs to be careful. But he still can. Yeah. So yeah. That's where I'm at with that, but we'll see, man. I think that if they show out in the playoffs and they get this thing around, and you know he can make a name for himself, he'll be back. But
if they face the Lakers this in a 7-game series, who would y'all Lakers. Predict?
Lakers.
No question.
Lakers in 5.
Yeah, it's Lakers. Mm-hmm.
I say.
Lakers should win that series.
Lakers should win. I would say it's at least 6. I can see it going.
Yeah,
to 7.
Six games,
I can see it because I really look.
Luka, you gonna have a Luka game.
Bro, don't tell
LeBron
me Luka
game. Then two Luka games.
Luka is the Babe Ruth of the NBA. That fat motherfucker, bro. I'm trying to tell
but
you,
Nick. You know he show up at this time of year. You know this is what he do.
I'm not saying he's not good in the playoffs. He's actually great. But lately, bro, like I was watching that Houston game, bro. If Houston had a scorer, that if Amen Thompson, the way FIFO was talking about him, if he was as good as where like his potential could be, they win that game easily. I'm trying to tell you, because I'm looking at this Lakers team defensively, they don't got it. They can't stop nobody. If you really,
they're just struggling right now, Nick.
All right, Ken.
Yeah, they're struggling because LeBron is not 100%.
And you didn't watch them when the defense was good. It just hasn't been good.
I've been watching them all season, Ken, and they a damn roller coaster.
Luka can drag this team to the third round. I mean, to the second round. And
you going too far, Shelton.
Yeah.
And you seen Luka do it with Dallas?
Bro, Luka when LeBron went down, they couldn't even win games. What are you talking about? No, they went 3-7.
I'm just talking about playoffs. And I agree with you on that. I don't like this Lakers team, but I'm saying playoff-wise, You
don't like this Lakers team, but you got them in the Western Conference Finals.
They need LeBron on the court. If LeBron ain't on the court, mm-hmm. Luka ain't dragging shit, bro. We saw
it. They do need LeBron, but
and they still trying to figure out who's going to take the last shot.
Oh, they know who's going to.
It's going to be Luka.
Should it be Luka? That's the question.
Yeah, because I saw again.
I'm watching these games. Yeah. Luka ain't as clutch as y'all think he is when it comes to these. At least for the Lakers.
Yeah, bro, we in sync, man. I almost Hey man, almost pulled out the pen on Luka, bro.
Hey kid, on watch. Play off condition. We may be having a conversation. I ain't ready to say it yet. You know what I'm saying? You know, they when I come early to the party, kid, they call me a hater. I'm just saying, right now, this Lakers team has got a lot of gas on it.
Yeah.
A lot of gas.
Anyway, we'll be back. Speaking of, we need to talk, queued up. We'll be back with that and our third topic of the night right after this quick break.
If you're looking for real conversations and motivations to be your best, then you have to check out Another Week in the Books. Another Week in the Books with Spike Lee and Rich is your go-to podcast for growth and community. Plenty of dope conversations take place week to week as they inspire each other to be better through conversations. Another Week in the Books, wherever you get your podcast.
We need to talk, man. Hey, we need to talk about the National Football League. And let me tell y'all why. Today.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. I already know
paying that bullshit play.
Absolutely. Today we had a meeting. Brought up by Green Bay. We had a meeting with the annual team meeting. They brought up a vote brought on by the Green Bay Packers to ban the brotherly shove or the tush push, as they like to call it, based off the fact that they say that there are safety reasons to do so, even though no one's been hurt this whole time. They had the problem I'm having, the reason why we need to talk about it is because they voted to table, they tabled the vote until further notice because it was tied 16-16. You need 24 votes for it to go through and be passed as a new rule, and they didn't get that. So instead of saying it was denied, they tabled it to try to convince the other owners to turn in their favor. Yes. I think that's some old BS, man. If you can stop it, stop it. If everybody could do it, if it's so easy to do, then just do it. I don't understand why everybody else don't try. Buffalo tried, it didn't work for them. Green Bay tried, and their quarterback just fell on the floor. So I don't understand it, but once again, this is another way to stop Philly from winning it all. But it won't work. Just get a ball to Saquon, get the same result. Oh, yeah, we need to talk about that because I don't understand that.
I think Buffalo – they were actually pretty successful with it last year. They were one of the few teams that actually
mattered
up into the playoffs.
I know, but they were successful at a high clip, you know. So I don't know where they were in terms of voting, but
you know why I hate Eagles fans? I'll take the lead on this. You know why I hate Eagles fans? Because if this were any other team, they would be the main ones crying about it's not fair. Y'all can't do this. This ain't a football play. But since they are the ones that are successful at it, they want to be the ones on the end of, well, y'all just got to stop it. Why don't y'all do it? Like, this play is bullshit, and y'all know it. Everybody looking at it know it, and that's why the league voted against it, and that's why they tabled it. Goodell don't want it done. We seen what happened in the playoff game when it was jumping over the motherfucking line. This is a bullshit play, and they need it out of football.
That's what I was about to ask you this question. I think Sean was going to ask you, too. Do you really care about it? If this was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers doing this, would you care?
I would care if it was any team. That's I like football, bro. This is a bullshit play.
It's bullshit.
It's not what you like. To have somebody standing behind a quarterback and pushing him, that's bullshit.
To me, it's more about it's very situational.
Run a regular quarterback sneak, bro.
It's situational football. It's not like they do this on first down, second down, third. It's not like that. It's very like goal line, fourth and two, whatever. It's basically if you put them in that position, they have a guaranteed play. Something that any NFL team would want. I'm very neutral on this. I'm not for it. I'm not against it. It is what it is. Right. Like, I don't think it's like that Packers.
Then the playoff rules. Like how can you be a get? It's within the rules of the game.
Well, technically it's very offensive. It's leaning very towards the offense because the defense can't do that. The defense can't do their own version of a like at a goal line. They can't do their own version of two. It's illegal for the defense to do, okay, but the offense can do it. That's the only pushback.
But the defense can't run a legal pick play, and the offense can. This is an offensive league. The rules are geared toward offense. At the end of the day, it doesn't break any rules, whether you like it or not. And if it's guaranteed in a short yard situation, it is what it is. Figure out how to stop it.
It's not a football play. It's a rugby play. There's no way to stop it. It's not a football. You can't stand behind somebody. That's not natural in football. You don't stand behind people and push them forward. That's the whole thing. Like, you can't do that. You shouldn't be able to stand behind somebody and push them forward.
What rule says that you can't?
Well, that's why they're about to change it. That's why I got tabled. That's why they are. They're going to change it. That's why I got tabled. That's why they didn't just take the 16-16 vote and throw it out. They're going to change this.
So if they change it, and will that help Dallas make the playoffs?
I don't think that's a question. And even to that point, Jalen Hurts squats 600 pounds. He don't need the guard and the running back there pushing him, bro. He's going to get that first down regardless. So even if they change the rule, it's still going to be probably the same success rate. I don't give two fucks or not whether they change it, but because I know that Jalen Hurts, it's a Jalen Hurts thing more than anything else, and I do give him credit for that. He's a great running back. He is one of the best running backs in the league.
One of MVP with that running back.
He can get that play off.
But you know what else? They changed one rule, and I will mention this really quick. They changed the rule. The overtime rule is what Eagles asked for that rule to come through, but the one on the kickoff. So now a touchback, you get the ball at the 35-yard line. I hate that. That is ridiculous.
They want to eliminate. They're leaning towards what I've always said: eliminate the kickers from the game. That's basically what they're trying to do.
That's what they're trying to do.
And two. My thing is, the only thing about the touch push is that from a viewer standpoint, which I think the NFL is looking at as they're trying to get more viewers at an if they're about to go to a 18-19 game season, or eventually probably gonna get to a 20-game season. They want interesting, entertaining football. The tush push is not that. We're not trying to see rugby plays in football. That's the only reason why I think that's the main reason, because they keep on trying to hide behind the whole health and safety, but it doesn't make sense because they're adding more games. It's just the ugly look for the game, which I think anybody can outside of Eagles fans can see. Like, I don't want to see the tush push. Like, I want to see a competitive kind of play. Yeah.
And that's fine. But moving the ball, starting, like I said, 5 years ago, you started at the 20, then you went up to 25. Now, this past year, you went to the 30, and this year's at the 35. 15 yards, and you at midfield. To me, that's not football. I just don't like the fact that it gives – that's too much of an advantage.
I don't like the overtime rule that you brought up, because it's like
– Yeah, I don't like both teams.
But I get it for the playoffs, because you want to – I understand that you know they changed the rules for the Bills. But for the regular season, what's the point of that?
Yeah. All right. We'll see what the ruling will be. I think it's May 20th, 21st. So, we don't know what concessions they'll have to give. But if they tabled it, then more than likely it looks like they're going to find a way to get this out of here instead of coming back next year. So we'll see. But speaking of teams coming back next year and success of building off success of last year, let's talk about the Timberwolves, man. The Minnesota Timberwolves are quietly making a comeback as one of the contending teams in the West after defeating the Detroit Pistons at home 123-104. Should we start putting more respect on the Timberwolves, or has their window closed as legitimate title contenders for this iteration of the team? Here's an interesting stat. The Minnesota Timberwolves went 11-3 during the month of March and are currently half a game out of the sixth seed in the Western Conference. Are they back?
The Western Conference Finals to where they are now, it does seem like it's a decline. However, they've been balling over the last, a little over a month. I just think the thing that holds me back from saying anything positive is Julius Randle. Mm. And I think he's a cancer. He's not benign. He's full blown. He's a full blown cancer. And that's why I'm glad. And Sheldon, the Knicks got his ass up out of there. And we've been seeing orange and blue skies ever since. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's because, like, what's crazy is that with him, it's like, again, there is an injury prone thing with him as well, too. But when he's playing healthy, like, his potential is that, bro, he is a 25-10 guy. And he can create his own shot. And he can score at any point on the floor. It's just that he goofy in his own way. He's almost like Cat, but a dark-skinned version. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's a weird thing to classify him as, but he's very goofy in how he plays. It's like, why can't you just do the thing that you do best and make smarter decisions after all the failures that you've seen when you go with your gut and go with the goofy shit? So as much as I believe in Ant, that's how much I don't believe in Julius. That's the reason why I think they're second round at best this season.
So then you believe in Cat more than Randall?
I believe in Brunson more. I believe in Brunson and Cat.
I'm just talking about for this team.
No, I'm saying I believe the pairing of Brunson and Cat better than the pairing of Brunson and Randall.
I think that what we learned is that Cat was way more important to this team than we thought. And they thought statistically maybe they could replicate what he was able to do when you just look at the numbers. But there has been an adjustment period. And based on how they've been playing, maybe they finally figured it out. When I watched him play, I don't know, something just always seemed off to me. And I think that is the issue. They just don't know how to play without Cat and trying to move everything to Ant. You know, we talked earlier, you know, this year it seemed like Ant talked about the number of threes Ant was taking was a lot. You know, I think Rudy Gobert is just awful. I don't care what anybody say. He doesn't contribute anywhere. But I don't know, man. I think it's been interesting because – maybe they overachieved last year, and this is who they are. To go from where they were, it looked like they were going to ascend and become a legit player in the Western Conference Finals, and they took a step back. So for me, I really want to see how they perform in the playoffs, and can they got to win at least. They got to get out of the first round and come close to getting out of the second round. But for me, man, I'm looking at Ant. I'm looking at Ant, and can you be the guy that, you know, everybody think you can be? And we haven't seen it, but Cat was very important to this team, and Ant was very specific when he said, and very clear, when he said Cat is the best offensive player on that team.
Yeah, I think Ant got to go too. I'll be quick, FIFO. I know you got a basketball take. I think Ant got to be next level. So I don't know if he's going to be able to reset in the playoffs. I don't think he's reached it yet. And I don't think that you could be as successful as you were as the Timberwolves with Julius Randle as your number two. I don't think that there's a world where that happens. They need to find a true number two for Ant. If not, he has to be like next level Michael Jordan, 36 a game in the playoffs for them to be successful.
Ken, you said a couple of things. Number one, I'm not the biggest Rudy Gobert fan, but he did win Defensive Player of the Year. And I want to say that you and Shelton clamored for him winning Defensive Player of the Year over Wemby. So,
I don't remember.
Yep.
I can't recall.
Chat, when we takes, pull that up. Hey. I vividly remember you, Shelton. Ken, you may be on the fringe, but I know I was saying that Wemby should have been Defensive Player of the Year, and now this guy Rudy Gobert.
I said they wouldn't give it to him because he's a rookie, but I was with you. He deserved it.
Okay. Either way, I called it from the beginning of the season. I felt that this was a soft rebuild because you didn't necessarily get better, but you took a half step back. You know, and the reason why Cat was an issue for Minnesota, Ken, and I don't think that they would have won a championship with Cat either, is because Cat is just mentally week and you can get into his head, and he doesn't perform when the lights are the brightest. And that's evident by the New York Knicks not being able to beat the best teams in the league. Yes, they are a better team with Cat in terms of the New York Knicks and with Brunn and all of that, Nick. But they can't beat the elite teams, and that's where they are slated to be by making the Cat trade, right? So Cat is in a weird space of having immense talent but not having the mental capability to be elite. He has a it's kind of like all of these years with Anthony Davis, right? Batman physical, Robin mental. And it's like you can't win like that. And that's the issue that Cat has. Now, you also said that Ant hasn't been balling. You said Ant.
If I did, I misspoke.
Oh, okay. Because Ant has definitely been balling, and especially since the All-Star break. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but y'all could go look them up. Ant has been on a tear, which is why they are where they are right now. Spike, I also don't disagree that for them to make a true legit run, we need to see what we saw out of D-Wade years ago with Dallas.
That's a good,
like
that's
he good has bear. To go Super Saiyan, bro. Like if they are truly going to be a contender this year, he has to go Super Saiyan, where it's like you can't stop him, you triple team him, he pulling up from three and it's just he's shrugging at you, he giving you the Jordan shrug. That's the level he has to play at. Can he get there? We've seen spurts and moments of it, but can he have that for a sustained playoff run? We don't know. He hasn't done it yet. Where the Minnesota Timberwolves go from here, in my opinion, is you got to shop Julius in the offseason. You got to see what you could potentially get. Obviously, I like Naz Reid. You know, I said when they signed him that it made Cat expendable. Not saying he's as good as Cat, but what Cat gave you, you get from Nas. You know, I will look at, yo, can we go get KD? Can we get what is out there that is to be had? And Minnesota needs to make that move because they're not a true legit championship contender as presently constructed.
What say you, Shelton?
I think that they are a legitimate contender in the fact that I like what Ant is doing. Other than that, I don't think so. I'm with Nick on the Julius Randle take. I think that he is going to be a detriment. We talked about I never believed in Cat either, but he was still good for what they needed him for. But I didn't think he was good enough to win a championship anyway. But this year, based off the fact of where the West is right now and how it's kind of up in the air for everybody, it's really all about getting hot at the right time. And if they can click together right now and pull it together, which that fight with Detroit kind of helped them out a little bit. It kind of propelled them a little bit. Hopefully they can ride this momentum and this wave into the playoffs and carry them far and kind of pick up steam, kind of how they did last year. They did the same thing last year when they went on that run. And they have an opportunity in every series, no matter what. This first round matchup, if it holds true to form what it is now, they'll be playing a Houston team. We know Houston's young. So they have the experience factor there. So they can win the first round. Second round, you matched up with maybe a Lakers team, for example. You can win that matchup because you got youth and experience combined against the Lakers squad. So you have a chance to kind of dance your way to the top with the right opportunity. So they're legitimate in the sense that you have one of the best players in the league in hand.
Yeah. Well, we'll be watching. We'll see how that go. But it's good to see them starting to turn things around. And maybe they've kind of figured some things out. So, and we'll see if they continue to gel. But we'll be back right after this with we're going to talk about the Steelers Nets. So make sure you guys stick around. We'll be right back after this quick break.
If you are a fan of hip hop and love unfiltered discussions on the culture, check out Dead in Hip Hop. From album reviews to hip-hop debates, Dead & Hip Hop always keeps it real. Go to youtube.com/Dead & Hip Hop and search for Dead & Hip Hop or DEHH to subscribe now. Dead & Hip Hop, no politics, no BS.
All right, man. So, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we love the Steelers on this show, They are still evaluating potential quarterback acquisitions once starting option is already on the roster. Mike Tomlin is comfortable with the idea of Mason Rudolph as a starting quarterback, the head coach said Monday morning at the annual league meetings. That's why we brought him back, Tomlin said. I'm comfortable with that. We've been there before. He's a very capable guy. Is Tomlin Pittsburgh making a mistake with this move?
I will say before Spike go, there are videos of Rodgers throwing a DK Metcalf and shit like that. Rodgers hasn't officially, I don't think there's been any breaking news that he's joined the Steelers roster or anything, no. But it seemed like he's there. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know why he's not signed or anything, but he's there. If that gives you any other insight that maybe Mason, maybe, you know, is not going to be the starter. But this is what Tomlin said. This is out the horse's mouth.
Yeah, you can't go into the season with Mason Rudolph as your starting quarterback and be a competent franchise like the Steelers. I think that Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf, and what's the crash out name? The other receiver, the crash out?
Pickens.
I feel pretty good about that if I'm a Pittsburgh fan. That's better offense than we've had in the last 7 years down there. So if I, even though I didn't think Rodgers would do well in New York, and he didn't because of the structure that they have there, I do think that he would be able to semi-strive in Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin has a culture there as to where Aaron Rodgers wouldn't get too out of control, and we can win some football games and possibly even surprise some people, especially with the two weapons that I have. The Steelers haven't had a wide receiver combo like this since Antonio Brown was there. We know how long ago that's been. So if I can get DK Metcalf on the same page with Aaron Rodgers, I feel good about going into the season. I don't think this isn't bad like the Jets thinking, oh, Aaron Rodgers is going to come save our franchise. This is more so the Steelers being like, hey, we're a good organization. All that dark retreat bullshit, ayahuasca bullshit that you do, leave that at the front door. Like Mike Tomlin gonna make sure that everything is taken care of in the sense of culture. All you got to come in here is play football as a 40-year-old quarterback. We want you to do too much because we have a solid running game. I'm not sure about the offensive coordinator, but that's what Aaron Rodgers comes in and do. He can give perspective to a subpar offensive coordinator like the Steelers got, and they can get a better performance out of that offense. So I think this is a great move. This is something where the Steelers, you look up, and this is what we've been looking for the last 10 years since Ben was good.
It's a move that you know, I kind of look at it twofold. One way I look at it is it's a good move for the Steelers because the Steelers are known as a run-heavy team. Unlike the Jets, who put the ball in Aaron Rodgers' hands and kind of made him be the hero and try to make him captain save a team, they ignore Breece. So they took the ball out of his hands. Pittsburgh is not going to ignore the run. They're going to run first, which will free up some of the pressure that's on Rodgers. They have to do so much. They did sign Kenneth Gainwell to replace Najee Harris.
But the bullshit that y'all are saying right now.
What I'm saying is I think they're going to add more to that running rack room.
Are they?
I think they will. I'm pretty sure they will. But I still think, regardless, we know Pittsburgh is a run first team. Then you got Warren too back there, so you got a run first team. The they're going to run the ball. Warren is a decent back.
Jaren Warren. That they like.
Who is he?
Warren is the guy. Remember, Dallas had a running back they thought was good because he would come in and break a play. Who was that, Spike?
Luno.
Because y'all wanted him to be a starter, and he was terrible.
Tony Pollard.
Yes. That's all Warren is, bro. Another fucking Pollard.
Right. So
Tony Pollard actually did well with the Titans when he left, by the way.
I think they'll bring in another back, is what I'm saying. But they'll still be a run first team, which will release from stress. Now, the other part to this is I saw Mike Tomlin sweating like a dude that let his wife borrow his phone for a second.
It was crazy.
So I don't know. So I don't think he's too confident in what he was talking about.
Hey, Sheldon, when that seat hot, my thing is this, Lou, the amount of bullshit you just said is egregious coming from you, especially you talking so glowingly about Aaron Rodgers when months ago you was shitting on him.
He was killing Aaron Rodgers.
And then Shelton, you talking about some their run first team. What has that gotten them? They have a terrible offensive line. They have a terrible offensive coordinator. Because then they get the same coordinator, or he was the head coach for the Falcons, and now he's the offensive coordinator for the Steelers. It's like Mike Tomlin doesn't know how to pick offensive coordinators, clearly. Because like you said, Lou, the offense ain't look good since Big Ben. And I find it interesting.
You should always start your takes with, I hate the Steelers.
Start with that first. Listen, I always regardless of how I feel, I always keep it a bean. My thing is, we've seen this time in, time out. We are literally talking about the definition of insanity. Ken, what are they all? One of the famous football lines outside of defense win championships and there's no I in team is, if you got two quarterbacks, what you got?
You got none.
They've been doing that for the last 3-4 years, where they got two quarterbacks and they just say,
longer than that.
They just throwing out niggas out there like it's fucking like it's one of them halftime shows where they be like, you can shoot the ball and you can get $10,000, $100,000 if you make this half court shot. It's like they're just picking anybody out the stands, literally. Like they switched their full quarterback rooms 3 times in the last 3 years. I don't think any NFL team has done that. And then now you're talking about Aaron Rodgers, who is literally at the worst part of his career with a horrible offensive coordinator. We've seen that already 2 seasons with the Jets when he is with a horrible offensive coordinator. So what do you think that is going to be different now? Now, of course, you're saying the Mike Tomlin standard of not being a losing team, but is that the standard for the Steelers? Every franchise has different standards. We all know that. I'm not, and this is not me picking on Tomlin or the Steelers, even though I do have my bias against them, but every franchise has their standard. If the Panthers go 9-8 or 10-7, they celebrate that like the Super Bowl.
Shelton back on the bandwagon.
When the Steelers do that, that's not good enough. If the Titans go this upcoming season, regardless of who they draft, they win 9 games. That's a phenomenal season.
That's a win.
For the Steelers, that's not good enough. This is what they tell me. This is what the fans tell me. So when I'm looking at this season, like, nothing has changed. And the best part of the team is getting older.
Wait, real quick, before you go, FIFO, is Aaron Rodgers better than Russell Wilson?
Yes, but, like, by 0.25, like, barely.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Expectations, fans hold on to shit that they shouldn't hold on to, and they have to accept the reality of where they are. They know they don't have a quarterback. They know they haven't had a quarterback since Big Ben retired and with Big Ben got old. So they holding on to the glory leaders. We see that happen all the time. Shit, you still holding on to that Super Bowl appearance, Nick. Nick, we're going to be 20 years from now, and Nick will still be talking about this shit. The fact of the matter is, man, they just haven't had the roster. They haven't had the pieces. They haven't been good enough to get the job done. And it is what it is. My thing is this. Kenneth Gainwell ain't shit. So I don't know why his name was even brought up like it meant something. What they're doing post-Big Ben has been what they've been.
What are you saying, Ken?
What I'm saying is that I just said it. They've been mid to average.
Your answer is what it is.
and to get to the point, are they making a mistake with Rodgers? Absolutely. Because it won't put them over the top. It won't more than likely get them to winning a playoff game. And in all honesty, Mason Rudolph and Aaron Rodgers, damn near the same quarterback.
No, they're not. I'm going to stop you right there, Ken. I'm going to stop you right there. And here's the thing, Ken. I don't disagree.
I bet you we get the same results.
I don't disagree that Aaron Rodgers is obviously at the tail end of his career. And he's only slightly marginally better. I don't even know if marginally is the correct word. But he's barely better than Russell Wilson.
He is definitely better than Mason Rudolph. What the hell are you talking about? That's number one. Number two is that with Aaron Rodgers, they are definitely closer to a playoff win than a playoff loss, because you are definitely closer to that loss with Mason Rudolph. You're closer to not making the playoffs. You're closer to having a losing season with Mason Rudolph than you are Aaron Rodgers. Now, I'm not saying that he's the savior, but at the end of the day, I do think that, you know, and we talked about bridge quarterbacks the last show. Aaron Rodgers is not necessarily a bridge quarterback because you don't have the young quarterback waiting to take
his turn. Draft him. They might draft him.
If you're not drafting Shadur or Cam Ward, you don't have that guy, unfortunately. And I know that they've been saying that they're tying Jalen Milroe to the Steelers. From a potential perspective, but I don't think he's going to do nothing in the league. We see what AR is doing over there in Indianapolis. I think it'll be the same thing. Big, strong black guy with a huge arm and is inaccurate and can't read defense. I'm just saying. It is what it is. Why did AR get drafted? Why did a project get drafted in the top 10? Because he has all of the intangibles and he has potential, but he can't put it together. And he had less than 300 snaps in college. You know what I'm saying? Look, at the end of the day, it's this. Are the Steelers making a mistake for waiting for Rodgers? The answer is no, because they don't have a better scenario at quarterback for them. Now, here's the thing. I can't absolve them because they're the ones that created this scenario. They're the ones that haven't drafted a quarterback. If it had to be every single year since Ben Roethlisberger, then it had to be every single year till you get the guy. And they haven't done that. They hadn't done enough. Kenny Pickett, everybody here knew that he wasn't going to be the guy, and he lasted barely a season. So come on. Like, this is on the Steelers, but this is their best option to get Aaron Rodgers.
Why nobody talking about the elephant in the room, bro?
What's that, Jay?
And I don't use this word, but I gotta use it for this situation. Aaron Rodgers is a bitch. Like straight up. Like, why the fuck? Make a damn decision, nigga. You being a hoe because you trying to find out if they're gonna be able to draft somebody or not. It don't fucking matter, nigga. You ain't gonna be there when that person needs to develop. Just make your decision on whether you go in there or not. You scared. He's scared. That's basically what it is. And honestly, the Steelers are fucked up because they waiting for this nigga. They need to be in too and be like, fuck that shit. You gonna be with us or you're not? Like, y'all waiting on him, and he's a bitch. And that's the moral story. And that's all I really got to say. Yeah. I'll be back for FIFO's power rankings because I got a problem with the shit he sent me. So
Aaron Rodgers is doing the same shit that Brett Favre did.
Well, Aaron Rodgers
and Brett Favre did. He doing the same bullshit.
Yeah, he likes to control. He likes to control, and that's what it seems like. Plus, the fact that he's doing it his way. So,
Cam Hayward said it best. They asked Cam Hayward about it playing for the Steelers defensive tackle. He was like, bro,
exactly.
We the fucking Steelers, bro. Like, I ain't pitching you.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Listen. We ain't the Bengals. We ain't the Buccaneers. We ain't none of the Panthers, nigga. It's the fucking Steelers. We got four rings.
I was gonna say this. Lou, you damn sure right. You ain't the Bengals or the Buccaneers because y'all ain't want to playoff game. Damn near.
I'm gonna tell you what that means. Let me tell you what that means. We have five Super Bowl rings, and we can do what we want to do. We ain't got to wait on you, but we acting like we do. If them the Bengals,
acting,
we
don't spend they no are. Money
and we cheap. Then I gotta wait on somebody like Aaron Rodgers. The Steelers are the Steelers. The elite franchises are the elite franchises. I ain't gotta pitch Aaron Rodgers on coming to play for me, bro. Like, you ain't gotta wait to see who I draft, man. Make your decision, get in camp, and let's do what the fuck we do.
I don't think it's all just about that, because the Vikings GM said that, you know, they still flirting with Aaron Rodgers too. And we already discussed that in this chat, that if you had to pick between the Vikings and the Steelers right now, you're picking the Vikings.
That's a great point. The coach for the Vikings has came out and spoke to that. He was like, no, I would rather work with my rookie quarterback and get him developed versus having Aaron Rodgers for a couple of years. That don't make sense to him. Every quarterback that he's had, he's been successful with. Like, I just made Sam Darnold an MVP candidate last year. I don't need Aaron Rodgers. I can get McCarthy. We drafted him in the first round. I can get him where he need to be.
Just like what Q says in the chat all the time, these head coaches don't have as much power as we say they do. Because as much as we talk about Mike,
The Vikings not going to sign Aaron Rodgers.
If the Vikings was really all in on JJ would have been known as the starter by now, and we wouldn't be having this discussion.
That's why they didn't sign him.
We wouldn't be having this discussion if Mike Tomlin
you having this discussion. If, the Vikings not. The Vikings if, know where he
if,
the quarterback.
If Mike Tomlin had his way, like he said, Mason Rudolph would be the starter. However, we're seeing videos come out of Aaron Rodgers throwing a DK, and they buddy buddy like a damn buddy cop movie. So it's just like there's something going on where it's like somebody is lying and they don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
And either way, I think the results will still be the same. Aaron Rodgers made it to Rudolph. I still think I don't think it's going to change much. They're the same guy, man. So let's move on to our worst of the week from FIFO. And then we'll have the power rankings up next. And I guess they are a doozy.
I don't know what the hell Jalen talking about, but let's get into the worst of the week. The worst performance of the week that I've seen is, I know I'm going to butcher his first name, Tetaria McMillan. He was recently on a package.
I don't know why I say George Floyd.
That's crazy.
Hey, Candace going to come up in the meeting. in the next
TV. Isn't George Foreman dead?
Yeah, man, he died last week.
But Teta Pariah McMillan was recently on a podcast.
He just said left and put Foreman here.
He could have just put T-Mac. But Teta Pariah McMillan was just recently on a podcast talking about he doesn't watch film individually. He was talking about how he watches it as a team in the wide receiver room, but outside of that, he does not. The reason why this is the worst performance of the week is because I don't care what sport you play. If you're going to be great, you take the time and you watch the film, especially in football, and especially if you play on the boundaries, because you're going to have there's a lot of things that you have to see the same way that the quarterback sees it, especially in the NFL. You're going to have to be able to read coverage. You're going to have to be able to understand where the soft zone is. You're going to need to know do I need to cut my route short? Do I need to take it a little bit further? You have to be on the same page with the quarterback. And for him not to even be in the NFL yet, this is taking his draft stock. He went from the number one wide receiver prospect to potentially bottom of the first round. And this is the worst performance of the week. Just keep your mouth shut, bro.
FIFO, this is a good call out. There's like somebody just said in the chat, Batman couldn't have got this information out of me, bro. I don't watch film. Like, what are you talking about, bro? Like, what? Some of the younger generational athletes, it's amazing to see their thought process in the world they live in. They think that they can just get by off their skills.
Let me finish, Nick.
I know we've had athletes in our generations that have done the same thing.
Do you?
AI, Jamarcus Russell, like there have been people. You could have put me on a Game of Thrones torture device, and I would have never told you that I don't watch film, bro. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? This is crazy. You doing this for clout on a podcast? That's insane.
Mm. All right. Up next, we got the power rankings.
Power rankings. All righty. This week's power rankings is going to be the best six men of all time. Now, Jalen, there are a couple of people that I didn't put on the list because I didn't watch them growing up.
He didn't
scare me. I'm just saying,
I'm the deuces already, bro. You don't even need the list.
Look, I know that there is going to be one particular name on here that I didn't watch the film on this guy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Damn. People say he's great, and I've seen highlights, but I just didn't watch him play. So he's not on here.
I ain't never seen people back down like that. Jalen made it.
I'm not backing down. But look, best six men of all time at number five. Give me Finals MVP Andre Iguodala at number five. At number four, this man got more championships than a whole bunch of your favorite players. Big Shot Bob, Robert Horry at number four. At number three, I believe this player has won the most six man awards in league history. Lou Lemon Pepper Williams at number three. At number two, he won championships. So that's why I put him where I put him. Manu Ginobili. And at number one, look, this didn't have to do anything with the accolades. Obviously, he won Sixth Man of the Year. Obviously, he is number one on this list. And I'm just going by what my eyes tell me. Give me Jamal Crawford.
Wow.
Jamal Crawford, number one.
Jamal Crawford is the greatest six man of the year of all time to you.
Yes. Jamal Crawford is the best six man that I've ever watched.
Over Manu Ginobili.
Yes. I think individually he was better. I think he was a better player. Manu won. Manu was part of a system. Manu introduced the NBA to the Euro
rings?
Set.
How many rings?
Manu has championship. Yeah, Crawford don't have championships.
I give you that.
He was nice, though. Nice handles.
Like, oh, that's it?
That's about it.
He can score and shoot too. But if I needed somebody to come like refuel my top five, like Manu was the guy.
And he was clutch too.
Facts. Yeah.
You could even put Lou in that conversation over Jamal Crawford, maybe. Lou Williams.
Over Jamal? There would be no Lou if it wasn't Jamal.
Doc, I want to hear your thoughts.
I want to know what Jalen.
Where did you fuck up the most?
All right, so it's just because the list is all over the place. So like, what is the criteria for making somebody the best six man? Because if Jamal is the best, he never really won. He didn't win. You know what I'm saying? So that's why Manu would be up there because he actually contributed to a winning team. But then you got Robert Horry on here. Yeah, he got rings, but he was just a big shot Rob, but he wasn't like a true contributor, like we mentioned in Manu. You got Bill Walton, who's not on here, who's been MVP and a sixth man in the year. James Harden even was a sixth man before. You can count him at OKC being a sixth man. He should be on this list probably. And you got Kevin McHale, who's a sixth man as well.
So that's
the one.
You got Andre Iguodala and Robert Horry here, and it's like, bro, you got some Hall of Famers that you didn't even put on here that deserve to be here. So, it's like, what's going on?
Jalen, Kevin McHale is the one, and that's why I said, like, I didn't watch him growing up. I never studied Kevin McHale, so if somebody wants to ding me for Kevin McHale, I'll give you that. I'll concede that one. I'll give you Kevin McHale. In terms of the ranking, I don't disagree. And that's why Manu was number two. And that's why I said for me is based off of what I've seen in terms of what I would want off the bench as a head coach to come in and just give me what I need. Jamal Crawford was the best in my eyes to see do that. Again, Manu Ginobili was good, but I feel that Jamal Crawford was a better basketball player, in my opinion. Offensively, obviously, now one of these people outside of Iguodala was a great defender. You know what I'm saying?
Like somebody said in the chat, this nigga Manu, he played for the Celtics and for the Spurs and won championships, and then went to Argentina and won a gold medal for the nigga. Jamal ain't even make the USA team. And I get it, he was great, but he didn't even make the team here. So.
Hey, but I love Jamal Crawford.
Because Jamal Crawford would make the Argentina. He would make the Argentina team.
It's a lot of niggas in the NBA that make other stuff.
He ain't from Argentina, bro.
If people's defense, Jamal Crawford won the award 3 times and Manu won it once.
Hoopers so, love Jamal Crawford, bro.
No, yeah. I get the love.
That's the only thing I
love, Jamal. I'm just saying, like
Jamal Crawford.
Manu only won it 1 year. He won it in 2007-2008. He didn't win it another
year.
How many
rings Manu got? Look that up. How many rings he got?
To me, Jamal Crawford, when he was with the Knicks moving forward, that's when a lot of people like gave him his props because he had like the N1 mixtape moves. Like he was a part of that era that brought in like a lot of the style and flash. So like I fuck with Jamal Crawford, but having him number one on an all-time list of six man is egregious.
Hey Nick, I'm not even mad that he got 1, 2, 3 on the list. Like I said, 4 and 5. I'm like, come on, bro.
Iggy is a stretch.
By the time he was six man, it was finals MVP.
I know, but when you think of six man all time, Andre Iguodala is not the first five, maybe even 10 names you think of.
The only one I give you is Kevin McHale.
All right. Well, anyway, that's it, man. FIFO's
That's a creative list.
Controversial. Sixth man of the year. It's top five. So we're going in and start wrapping things up. We got some quick super chats to get to. Teej, the fact that Shelton admitted to wanting to see his own son lose games is wild business and certified hater behavior. Almost called CPS on your ass.
What is
that's Mr. Mike's okay.
That's Mr. Mike. That's Mr. Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's Mr. Mike.
Shout out to your patron, man. That, you heard that early before anybody else.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Tweets up a door. Has anyone ever seen an Isaiah Stewart highlight that didn't involve a fight?
No.
That boy's piss is going to be fun to watch in the playoffs.
I feel like that's the only reason he in the league to promote fighting.
I hope the Pistons stay in the 4 or 5 range, and same thing with the Indiana Pacers. I think that's a great series that we'll be watching the first round.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you the Isaiah Stewart the Pacers, comp.
Don't worry about me, Shelton.
Who is comp?
Isaiah Stewart's comp is Aaron the Plumber. If you know, you know.
That's hilarious.
That's it.
Damn, that's
people, that is it.
Guadalupe, are y'all aware of the LeBron songs that have been blowing up on social media recently? Yes. Have you listened to any?
Oh, my God. No.
I heard, yeah. What do you
I
mean, like LeBron songs? Is it like AI or is it actually LeBron?
They make up songs using his name, so... My daughter be doing
I did see one of them. I saw one of them. Yeah.
What you mean losing his name? What y'all talk like?
So they'll take the melody of a famous song and fit like LeBron and LeBron, the Lakers
yeah.
in it.
Yeah.
Send over if you haven't heard any of them.
Yeah.
I'll let you check those out. And that's it. Shout out to Steph, man. We were talking about the Grizzlies, and he just put a number on them, bro. 52.
Yeah.
Last count I saw.
He broke the 3-point record for a single game.
Hey, he had 12.
About to break.
12 for 20.
Can he playing with a superstar, so that's why he had to turn up now. Ever since Jimmy Buckets went over there, the Warriors look different.
How did they look in Miami? How did they look in Miami, Nick?
Don't worry about all that. These are old heads. The veteran teams, they just trying to get to the playoffs. They ain't worried about all that shit. But the Warriors, I really want to see Warriors Lakers first round. I'm hoping that the Memphis drops down to the 6th seed and the Warriors take that 5th seed.
You wouldn't rather see that second round?
I'd rather see that early. Because we're going to see the Lakers out of there. Gotcha. I don't want the Lakers out of it. I just want to see good first round playoff game matchups. Mm-hmm. And we ain't about to get that from the East outside of maybe the Detroit Pistons series. So I want to see more first round matchups.
Okay. Oh, last thing. We're actually going to talk about this in more detail on Is the Mic Still On this week.
Y'all going to get some detail, all right?
So, so is Ant offered to his baby mama a good deal?
Hall of Fame deal.
And for
legendary deal. Yeah. Legendary. Take everything right now. Don't call me no more.
He should have a statue outside of every child.
Like, hey, Judge, we ain't got to come back here no more. You ain't got to talk to me like here. What you check me to be?
Yeah, hey, show you know how they got the Larry Bird rights? They got the Ant-Man deal. Do you want the Ant-Man payment plan?
Can you write a check today? Yes.
One love song.
I don't. So, Guadalupe, I don't have a song, and we got like 5 minutes left. Can y'all throw one up real quick? Do we find one?
Yeah, Shelton sent one.
React to me.
I sent one.
Lakers right now.
That's on my phone. Hold on.
Oh, man on the Lakers is what he's talking about.
The Lakers? Is that on YouTube? Hold on.
Songs going around right now. What is your favorite LeBron song?
I believe in LeBron. I got that one. You got the man on the Lakers. Is that it?
Yeah.
You're my sunshine. The man. The Lakers, that's the best one.
So is the man on the Lakers.
I didn't. All I heard was
man
talking
in the mirror.
Yeah, yeah. Just look it up on YouTube, Ken. Just man on the Lakers.
LeBron.
That's the one that my daughter always in. LeBron.
Right, hold on. LeBron. I think I found some. Hold on.
Yeah.
But Lou, this is the only time you could bash the young generation, and I ain't gonna hold you. All
right. Here we go.
Oh, I found it.
Can y'all hear that?
Not really.
James look from James, and he plays for LA. It would feel so good and make a big difference if I could see him play. As I
this is insane.
This is so stupid.
It's a million of them.
They have a whole video.
Yeah.
Is this like, is it just Michael Jackson or different songs?
Nah, it's all different melodies, bro. All your favorite songs, they're making a LeBron version of it.
Yes. I just gotta hear this. I gotta hear the chorus.
If you want to make the world a better place, take a look in the sky and say his name. Yeah.
Man, turn this off,
man. Okay, I'm LeBron.
Turn this off.
Oh shit! All right, do not. Okay, Shelton. Don't send me any of those. All right, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. I done heard enough. And with that, man, we out. Guadalupe, I hate you because that's gonna be stuck in my head for the rest of my life. No, I ain't finished the shit, Guadalupe.
Man on the Lakers.
We out of here. We'll catch y'all next time. Peace.
Peace.
Oh shit.